Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good, glorious day to you all. Thanks for joining us here today for the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. If you're not loving, you're missing life. But if you're loving, life is a full and abundant adventure. So come on in and take a dive into the deep end of love. The water's fine over here. Somebody once said, I don't dive into the shallow end. That's where you break your neck. I'm going to dive in the deep end. That's me. So that's what I do with life. And when I come to love, I'd rather jump into that deep end of it and risk the potential flailing around in the deep end until I learn how to swim. Okay, I hope that made a pretty good picture for you all. Today I want to talk to you about one of the most common human challenges we all face. Everybody listening to me now is facing this challenge. You may be facing it to some lower or higher degree right now as we speak. But the truth is, everybody, all God's children are battling the battle of the ego. Every one of us have an ego. The ego, this is not a psychological or scientific definition, but this is the Randy Dean version. The ego is my sense of self. It is myself. It's who I am on the inside of me. My sense of self. Now, let me throw into that you can inflate your ego and create a monster of yourself, which more of us do than what we care to admit, or you can deflate your ego. Now, I want you to catch that, because an ego isn't necessarily a bad thing. We can deflate our ego and become beat up, humiliated, miserable, self-injuring, and externally injured as well. But an inflated ego is a problem. But I would propose that a deflated ego is an equal problem. So if each of us, with our sense of self, which is what I like to refer to as the ego, with each of us going about our daily lives, managing our ego well, then we will come out with a sense of self or an ego that is potentially, wait for it, drum roll please, a sense of self or an ego that is alive to love. So I want to talk to you today about how to manage your ego, treating it with great care and self-love and self-care, so that your ego is a tremendous tool of human relationship. Your ego becomes something that creates for you a world of connections, a world of support, a world of servanthood, a world that is coming to serve you. But you are also equally, if not more so, serving out from your ego. So let me give you a statement of purpose here. Humility is power. A humble, a powerful ego. Because when we learn to stay free of our ego demands and leave ego demands and our need to win in an emotional junkyard, we're going to discover that humility can connect us to true and lasting relationships. Humility is power. And I believe humility is birth of love. When we are honestly people of love, then humility springs up out of the soil of love. And when we can learn to stay free of demands of our ego. Now catch that carefully, because again, I said earlier, your ego is not necessarily an evil thing in and of itself. I'll put it to you in another context. If you can see your ego as a baby, as a small baby that needs to be cared for, no baby is evil in and of itself. No baby is an evil monster screaming in their crib, wanting their diaper changed or wanting food. That doesn't make that baby evil. It makes that baby a vulnerable being. Your ego's the same way. Your ego can end up screaming and yelling and crying out for attention, but that doesn't make it evil. So when we can learn to stay free of ego demands, recognizing that ego demands have some better roots that need to be tended to, and leave our need to win. Now, that's another part of this. Love does not demand to be right. if we can love in a sense that says, I don't have to prove how right I am with everybody I relate to. I don't have to prove how much better than you I am, how much more I know than you know, or how much of your knowledge is inferior to my knowledge. If we can leave our need to win in an emotional junkyard, then we'll discover that humility will connect us to true and lasting relationships. And I propose that humility is born of the soil of love, because love does not demand its own way. 1 Corinthians 13 is the granddaddy, the grandmama of all definitions of love. Love does not demand its own way. Love does not need to know that they're right. Love needs to know what is right. Not who's right, but what is right. So when we come to our ego, which every one of us have, which every one of us is carrying around on the inside of us, we have to treat our ego as that engine of potential love, that engine of potential loving and connecting with other folks all around us. But we cannot allow our ego to become a master within us, demanding to always win every argument, every conversation, every interaction that we have, because then that ego gets inflated. I said a moment ago that your ego can be seen as carrying a child and caring for a small infant. So I want to talk to you about it that way. If we're going to be alive to love, then we have to have a healthy ego, an ego that is allowing for a variety of opinions around us, an ego that allows for a variety of conflicts that will happen all the time. You can't live in this world without a conflict somewhere. But your ego has to be able to have been loved and loving enough so that that ego allows for conflicts, and that their ego allows for human interactions that are in a wide scope of great variety. I need to be around folks who don't look like me. I need to be around people who don't sound like me. I need to hear from people that I haven't heard from. I need to read. I need to study. I need to find out how other folks and their ego are managing this one and only life. I'm very convinced. I am so convinced that, for instance, as I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor. I've been in the ministry of church work since I was, my goodness, since I was basically 19, I started a part-time position as a youth pastor at 19, and I have at some level or another since I was 19 been involved in church ministry. And I've discovered that when I get isolated in just my own circumference, my own four walls, we used to laughingly say about a church that was struggling to exist, it's just us four and no more. When I struggle to just keep us four and no more alive, I will lose contact with a greater variety. And if I don't have love, if love is not an engine on the inside of me firing on all cylinders, then I'm going to stop connecting. I'm gonna fail the humility test, as I mentioned a few moments ago. If I'm not loving, I'm not going to be experiencing life in its fullness. So what I would propose to you is that we all need a wide variety of experiences with a wide variety of people, because everyone is carrying either the potential of love or they're carrying the potential of a need for love going on in their life. And the reason for that is we're all carrying an ego. And that ego needs to be loved, and that ego needs to find a healthy love connection with somebody. So as I share with you today, I hope I haven't already kind of muddied the water too much, but I want you to hear me say carefully that self-care, self-love in its most humble context, self-care and self-love will give you a fighting chance to have an ego that can rise up. So first of all, don't expect anybody to love you any more than you love yourself. Let me say it again, because your ego, I think, if your ego is at the front room of your living space right now paying attention to these words, your ego said, ooh, say that again. All right, here it is. Don't expect anybody to love you any more than you love yourself. Jesus said that we ought to love our neighbor as ourself. So as yourself, as you are in this world, so you will be loved. As you are loving, so you will be loved. It's not a perfect science, and please don't misunderstand me there, but it is a rule of thumb. It's a guide. It's two curbs on either side of the street. It contains a wide spectrum of purposes and connections. So as we love, we will be loved. When I've often said through the years when I preach or teach on love, I'm always going to be confronted by somebody who will come to me and give me their long story of how they weren't loved by someone or some group or some church or some business or some job they had. The love that they wanted didn't come back to them. And that has been a risk of preaching and teaching on love that I've willingly taken throughout the years. Because as I hear those stories, when I hear folks telling me that they have not been loved, I am on alert that here's a person with a wounded ego, a deflated ego, an ego that has not been sustained. As I said, an ego that if that ego was a small child, that child would be underweight, that child would be undernourished, that child would possibly be even sick. And they don't even know what's happening. No small baby that's sick knows why they're miserable. All they know is they just need somebody help me here. So when I hear people say that I haven't been loved as I had hoped to be loved, I recognize that there's a person whose self-love has been injured. And they're going to have to find a way to get in that street with curbs on either side of the street and be able to manage their life better with a self-love and self-care. So as you love yourself, so you will be loved. So when you feel rejected, so when your sense of self is lonely or your sense of self is lacking connection, ask yourself really hard questions. You know, to know the self is one of the grandest capacities of human existence, to know yourself. To be able to know yourself and know what is true of you apart from anybody else's interference is to be able to be truly a growing potential genius in life. To come into contact with yourself and to know your self-love is either high or low or in some way damaged or needing repair, and no one can do that for you but you. As you are loved, so you have been loving of yourself. And as you can love yourself, you will discover that others will be secure in loving you. So that's the first point about this. The ego is in such need of your love. Your ego needs your love. Remember the illustration of a baby in a crib. If you can see your ego as that child looking back at you saying, help, I need food, I need attention, I need some personal hygiene, my diaper needs to be changed, I want to change locations, I want to get out of this crib and go explore the little play area in the nursery. If you can see your ego as a child that needs to be nurtured and loved, then you can find a way to have self-love that'll carry you forward and move you into healthier, more beautiful relationships that'll ultimately be more rewarding to you. So that's the first purpose of my discussion here about self-love and ego. The next point about self-love that I think is, it may sound simple, but I believe this is very complex. This next concept of self-love has to do with being able to clearly know in yourself when you have been negligent to yourself. Recognize the warning signs of self-neglect. Hear that carefully. Recognize your warning signs of self-neglect. I think one of the first signs of self-neglect is anger. When you're angry, I think by and large, now there can be exceptions to this. Hear me carefully. When you're angry, it's an indication that somewhere in you has been sad too long. I heard someone say once that anger, routine anger, is really a mask for deep sadness. Routine anger is a mask for deep sadness. Somewhere, sadness has hooked itself up to your life, and it hasn't let go. And because we're not, again, self-aware that this is really sadness, then it comes out as madness. It comes out as anger. whenever there's a raging word coming out of my mouth, I know Randy has not been paying attention to Randy. Randy is now lashing out because Randy's ego has been neglected at some level. And there may be a sadness in there that needs some attention. There needs to be some gladness put where there is sadness, so that anger isn't my relationship, the currency of my relationship. I think some people have a notion that anger really is their currency for relationships, because they know they get response. You'll always get a response if you're angry. You'll always get a reaction. People will pay attention to you when you're angry. I guarantee you that. And in fact, if you're angry long enough and harsh enough and loud enough, some policeman is going to come tend to you because you will become dangerous. So recognize that your anger is really a masquerade for sadness, and get some self-attention in there, so that out of that, then you can move forward. Know yourself. I suppose the second part is just know yourself. Know that when you're extending yourself in ways that are not love, that it's just an indication that something else is cooking on the inside. I remember Jack Benny. Anybody old enough to remember Jack Benny listening to me? And his helper, his housekeeper, butler, man of all trades. I think he was Roscoe. I am not sure. But anyway, he would say, uh-oh, there's something burning in the kitchen. That was his sign to get out of the room. There was something in the room he didn't want to be a part of. And he said, uh-oh, there's something burning in the kitchen. Sometimes there's something burning in the kitchen in us, and we need to stop everything we're doing and pay attention to what's on fire on the inside. Managing that ego, giving yourself self-care. So that's the theme, I suppose, if you could hear me clearly on this broadcast today. Good self-care, self-awareness. The last part about this, in the last 10 minutes or so here, I want to spend as much time as I know how to on how love produces genuine humility. Love produces genuine humility. My statement of purpose at the very beginning was, humility is power. Rightly understood, when we're humble, we're genuinely powerful, because humble people are people who have the most information, because they have humbled themselves not to win. Humility is power. When we can learn to stay free of our demands of ego that are illicit, that are overly demanding, overly self-centered, when we can learn to fight off the urge to win at all costs, well, then we can sustain humility. And love, being alive to love, is going to create a humility in you that will make you attractive. It will bring people into your life. I'm 66. I'm an eager learner. I love to read. I have to be careful, because a lot of the reading I do is online these days. I'm much more prefer a book. I much more prefer a magazine or a newspaper, but those things are less and less available. So in my eager pursuit of learning, I have discovered that the lifelong pursuit of information is really how the human condition is wired. But in order for that information to be beneficial, if we're going to learn anything, we have to be humble. We have to admit, maybe there's something I don't know. Maybe there is information that I have not yet exposed myself to. Humility is power, because in the humility of acknowledging there's information I have not yet taken in, then I'm going to learn the power of humility. And then in the power of humility, then love can spring up. I'm convinced that humility and power have this fraternal twinish identity with each other. Humility and love walk together as fraternal, not identical twins, because love is the greater power. But those two entities, our humility and love, will sustain in us a healthy ego, because love says to the ego, listen. That's all it is. It's the love says to the ego, listen. And then the ego is able then, if it listens, to grow in knowledge, to grow in understanding, to grow in purposes, to grow in a wider circumference of information from people that they wouldn't otherwise be exposed to. And as I said a moment ago, we have such a great information age available to us at a fingertip, at a touch of a computer screen, at the touch of a phone or an iPad or a tablet. We can learn so much, but we have to be humble in order to learn. And when my love is on, when my love sustains, as I said at the very front of this broadcast, sustains healthy self-care, self-love that is beautiful and significant enough to keep me chugging through life, well, then I'm going to be a person of growing humility. And when that humility grows, then the power of managing life and connections with people is going to grow and grow and grow. But as I chased a rabbit, sorry about that. At my age, at 66, I'm learning that folks of my age group are more and increasingly lonely. And I've seen that in myself. The loneliness isn't so much a neglect of people outside of me, but it's a recognition that more and more people of my age group tend to get less and less dependent and more independent than they should be. I'm acquainted with a gentleman in his 90s who just recently had a fall, as many people in that age group would have, and that fall demanded then a connection, reconnection to family members that he'd otherwise been broken away from. So that the frailty of life demanded connection when in reality there had been a disconnect, but now the frailty demanded connection. So it, in an age group from 60 to 100, let's say, we grow increasingly independent or want to be increasingly independent, but the truth is we have to be increasingly interdependent. And loneliness is, as I said about other issues about our ego, loneliness is a signal, just as anger is a signal. Anger is a signal of I lack some healthy self-care. Loneliness is a signal, not a signal to blame people for neglecting you, but a signal that you need to reach out in humility and reconnect. Reach out in humility and reconnect. So now as we close today's broadcast, do it again with me. Would you please, if you've been busy at other tasks other than driving, if you're driving, pay attention to the road, but you can pay attention and multitask as you're driving. But if you're on an exercise machine or if you're listening to me in your living room or kitchen or your office, set aside the distractions for just about 3 to 4 minutes, would you? And give yourself this opportunity. Recognize that your self-care is one of the greatest opportunities for improvement in your life. Self-care. And recognize your ego as that infant in a crib that needs nurture, needs personal hygiene, needs to be nourished properly. Recognize your ego is not in and of itself an evil thing, but your ego is that child within you. That self-awareness, that awareness of self that has to be given some moments of pure love. So as I close the broadcast today, my reminder to you is it's important to take a moment every day, take a deep breath in and exhale. Recognize in this moment right now, please join me, would you, that you are eternally loved. Love is that beautiful expression of God, who God really is. God is love, and those who dwell in love dwell in God, and those who dwell in God dwell in love. If you recognize that God is love, he isn't just loving, he is love, that now that love is looking at you right in the eyes. This moment, as you drew that breath, you cleared your moment. And you said, I receive your love, O mighty lover of my soul. Now then, you're giving some clear oxygen to your ego, where your ego can draw a breath and then exhale with gratitude and say thank you. And beyond that, and one more layer of this, let me say to you who are listening and cued in and tuned in for this moment, I don't know your name. Maybe some of you I do. Most of you I don't. But I want you to know, I love you. You are created to be loved. You are created by love and for love. And love alone is credible in this life. Not achievement, not success or failure. Love alone is credible. And all I know is I'm one person, and I'm going to be one person who says to you today, I love you. Well, thanks for joining today. If you joined us late, I'm Randy Dean. I'm a bishop, and I call myself the No BS Bishop. I got nothing to sell you. All I want you to know is let's be alive to love. Love alone is the only thing worth everything. Go about your life today and this week and be a lover. Be a person who has maintained self-love at a level where your ego is giving you room to connect with a whole lot of other people who can love you in return. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.